This week on Public Address Science, a brief look into the science of forensic linguistics.
I'm Jack. You are no nearer touching me now than 4 years ago when I started. It can't be much good, can it?
If you didn't understand a word of that, then you're not alone. It was a message sent to the detective heading the investigation into the serial killer known as the Yorkshire Ripper. In the end, exhaustive scientific analysis revealed that that recording was actually a hoax. Tragically, however, while police resources were diverted into attempts to extract information from the hoax message, 3 more women were murdered. The Yorkshire Ripper was captured in 1981, but it wasn't until 2005 that, with the help of linguistic evidence from the recording, the hoaxer was successfully identified and convicted. But who are the scientists who painstakingly analyse this type of audio evidence so that criminals can be brought to justice or the wrongly accused can be declared innocent? I decided to do a little investigation myself by talking to Dr. Paul Foulkes, a forensic linguist at the University of York, who is also affiliated with forensic specialist J.P. French Associates. Dr. Foulkes has performed scientific analysis and given evidence in around 200 court cases and has trained agents for the FBI and the United States Secret Service. I started by asking him about the similarity, if any, between the science of forensic linguistics and conventional fingerprinting or DNA profiling.
When we're talking about voice analysis, it's absolutely essential that people understand that voice analysis does not work in the same way as fingerprinting or DNA profiling. What I mean by that is there is no feature of a voice that is indelible, that is always there no matter what the circumstances. And although there are plenty of Hollywood movies which have genius scientists in white coats with giant computers that can magically pluck a name from the ether when they hear a recording, we're a long way from that in the real world.
Right, well, that's a very interesting point. So, in the real world, what methods of analysis do forensic linguists use? Is it just their own ears and brain, or is it a much more sophisticated analysis based on computers and audio spectrograms and so on?
Well, there are really 3 types of analysis that are carried out. Firstly, there's what we call, in technical terms, auditory phonetic analysis, and that really just means very detailed listening. As phoneticians, we're trained to listen to very, very subtle differences in pronunciation and to transcribe those differences using a specialized alphabetic notation system. The second type of analysis is acoustic phonetic analysis. This is computer-based, where we use software that enables us to examine the acoustic signal, either for speech or other kinds of sounds, to get a very detailed handle on the features there. We can make speech visible, we can measure its component parts, and we can do detailed quantitative analysis. We can, for example, measure how long a particular sound was, and we can compare the length of that same sound across samples. The third kind of work that in principle is possible is fully automated work, that is getting computers to compare the voice samples and produce a computational view of whether those samples are similar or different. This is really the holy grail of the kind of work that we're involved with, and perhaps in 20 years' time, this is the way all of the work might be done. The current state of the science is such that the consensus really is that the automated systems are very good in the right circumstances, but not yet robust enough to work in the majority of cases that we deal with. They're not yet reliable enough to be called on in court.
So could any of these techniques be fooled by someone simply trying to disguise their voice?
Disguise, yes, of course, it can be a problem. There are different types of disguise, which therefore create different kinds of problems for us. There are really 3 types of disguise commonly used. Firstly, there's some sort of active manipulation of the voice. That would be where the speaker tries to adopt a different accent or tries to mimic a particular person. Secondly, there's the use of some sort of object in the mouth which will modify speech because it forces you to change the way in which your mouth moves around. So, for example, putting a pencil between the teeth. We might also include putting the handkerchief over the telephone receiver The third type of disguise would involve some sort of voice-changing device which can artificially modify the voice after it's been produced. Something like a megaphone, where you speak into the megaphone and whatever device it is, it will modify the speech signal. Now, these things give us different kinds of problems, starting with the voice changes, and they can be extremely damaging. However, if we can establish what device was used, it is possible to some extent to actually reverse the effects. Where people are doing a more active kind of voice disguise, that is putting on a different accent, putting something between the teeth, it's usually very difficult for people to be consistent in doing that. Putting on a different accent, people can be very good at that for 5, 10, 20 seconds, but keep them talking for long enough and they'll tend to slip. Even the very best actors, I worked on a case relatively recently in which this was exactly what happened. The person who was actually leaving threatening messages for someone tried to put on a different accent, and it was actually very well done, kept it going relatively well, but what he was unable to disguise was the fact that he had a slight speech idiosyncrasy. And that idiosyncrasy was where a word begins with either a V or a Z, so words like village or zoo, he pronounced them, instead of V and Z, he pronounced them as F and S. So he would say village and Sue. It was very consistent in the suspect's voice, and it was there also in the disguised voice.
Okay, so I guess I have to ask this question, but what about a computerized voice changer that could consistently change certain characteristics of the voice, pitch and so forth, but in a sufficiently subtle manner so that it doesn't show any signs of being tampered with? I know this sort of thing is a Hollywood staple, but does anything like that actually exist in real life?
There's an American TV series called Prison Break on at the moment, and I'll try not to spoil it for any New Zealand listeners who haven't got that far in the series yet, but there's a scene in which someone is using a voice-changing device apparently to sound like the US president and manages to fool even her ex-lover. But that's actually not possible in the current state of science.
Right, okay. So in terms of the presentation of linguistic evidence in court, could you actually convict someone of a crime solely on the basis of a voice recording?
In the work that we carry out, we always include a caveat in the reports that we write, and we always bring it to the attention of the people who bring cases to us, that speech and language evidence should always be used in conjunction with other types of evidence. With speech analysis, we may be able to say the features of this voice are consistent with the features of that voice, therefore the suspect could be the candidate to have been speaking in that recording. But we couldn't say it's not possible that it's anyone else. So what we first do is ask ourselves, are these voices consistent with each other? If the answer is no, then we can give a categorical statement that this is not the same person. If the answer is yes, we're effectively saying it's either them or someone who sounds like them. Now, in that situation, what we will then do is try and judge whether any of the features of the voice are particularly distinctive or unusual. And this, of course, involves either reference to population statistics where those things are available. So if we know that such and such a feature only occurs for every 1 in 100 people or 1 in 1,000 people, that, of course, gives you stronger evidence to say these voices are consistent with each other, and in fact, they're also quite unusual. So if I give you a concrete example, in British English at the moment, it's very common these days to hear people pronouncing the TH in words like thin or think, brother, mother, as either an F or a V. People will say think, thought, brother, mother. So if we were dealing with a British case, finding F and V would not be terribly interesting. On the other hand, if you were looking at a case from Australia or New Zealand, it is possible to find people who do this F and V for TH, but it's much, much less widespread. Both a criminal sample and a suspect sample with that feature, we would be able to say this is a particularly unusual feature in context.
As always, the truth is rather different from what we see on the television or at the cinema. Forensic linguistics is less about massive supercomputers with flashing lights and mysterious punch card machines, and more about ordinary, careful, and painstaking scientific analysis. But forensic linguists like Dr. Fowkes can help assemble the jigsaw puzzle that, quite literally, may prevent people getting away with murder.